Hey, Veronica. Elise here, having a look at your book lab assignment for character diction. Thank you so much for submitting that. I'm going to start with, let me get the formatting stuff out of the way and just give you a handful of tips about formatting, and then I'll talk about the scene itself. So take a look. I may have sent this to you with my feedback on the adaptation assignment. I'm not sure. Take a look at how the first page should look. Act one, scene one, and that first stage direction. The word act one and the word scene one should both be indented 3 inches, same as he, she, the names of the characters. They should all be lining up at exactly 3 inches. The left margin for that first stage direction should also be at 3 inches. And you don't need the word setting, and it shouldn't, the first line shouldn't be indented. So act one, scene one, an overcrowded grocery store, and all of the lines in that stage direction, all of them should be lined up at 3 inches, which means you want to identify that entire paragraph as being indented 3 inches. You should also put a blank line after act one and a blank line after scene one, so that it's not all crowded up together like that. But you don't need, it looks like you have two blank lines after the stage direction and before the first instance of he's dialogue. You don't need two blank lines there. Okay. Also take a look at your page numbering. I see 111, which indicates act one, scene one, page one. Generally speaking, though, what you want is for the first one to be a Roman numeral, capital one, to indicate the act. And then the other two can be, you know, our regular numbers. So you want the thing that looks like an eye. All right, so that formatting. Let me keep talking about formatting for a minute. Take a look at your stage direction. They both walk into the fruits and veggies section and begin picking out some onions. Okay, so that's a stage direction, lovely stage direction. Stage directions must always have a blank line above and a blank line below. They must always be separated out. They should be indented the half inch, but the entire paragraph needs to be indented that way. So you don't want "and begin picking" to go back out to the left margin. The idea is we should be able to identify all the internal stage directions because they are completely indented, right? So that's two things. So the blank line above, blank line below, indented, the entire paragraph is indented, not just the first line. And then you want to use all caps whenever you use the name or pronoun of someone who is performing an action. So since they are walking and that's an action, the word they should be in all caps. T-H-E-Y should be in all caps. And then the one other thing about that one that makes it tricky is if you're going to have a blank line and then a stage direction, then you have to tell us who's talking next, because it could be anybody. Once there's been a blank line, we don't know who's going to be talking next. So you would have to say, he, first things first, fruits and veggies, blank line. They both walk into fruits and veggies section and begin picking out some onions, blank line. And then he, there's going to be a dance at the church hall Saturday night. Okay, I know that seems like a lot, but that's what needs to happen. In the next one, pointing at a different case of veggies nearby. Because this only refers to the person who's speaking, the first one, they both walk into the fruits and veggies, applies to both he and she. So both of the actors need to be alerted and go, oops, I have a stage direction. So it really has to be a stage direction. This one, because it's only applied to the person who's speaking, it can be what we call an aside. An aside is something that's designed only for the person who's currently speaking. Nobody else needs to pay attention to it. Therefore, you do not put a blank line above it, and you do not put a blank line below it. You still indent it, the entire thing, so you wouldn't want that one to word wrap. So you still indent it. You won't have any names or pronouns in it, so you don't need to worry about that. So the only reason that what you've got there right now doesn't 100% work as an aside, it's close. An aside is also not a full sentence, so you do not use an initial cap and you do not use final punctuation. So just change that to a lowercase p, pointing at a different case of veggies nearby, and remove the period, because an aside is not a full sentence. Sorry, I know I just threw an awful lot at you about how stage directions work. There is a cheat sheet that's specifically about understanding the difference between initial stage directions, internal stage directions, and asides, and it shows how to use them and examples and everything. Please keep that by your side until it's second nature to you. the next stage direction on your page, he walks in the opposite direction of her to some oranges far enough away where he can still see her. This is good. It's got a blank line above. It's got a blank line below. It's got the person performing the action in all caps. He walks. Perfect. The only thing that's wrong with it is that it's word wrapping to the, or maybe it's maybe you're indenting it half an inch. It needs to all line up. So the entire paragraph is indented to, and what is it for stage directions? An inch, right? So where the he is. Oranges has to line up with that same place, okay? But otherwise, that one is really good. Let's see if I had any other formatting. Those things continue, like on the next page, pointing, that's an aside. So make it a lowercase p and no period. An old woman approaches. Old woman should be in all caps. He holds up a bag he's collecting as proof. Now, this is an interesting situation because if you made it a stage direction, you'd have to put a blank line and then capitalize he. But it could be an aside because it's only to him. And an aside can be at the end of dialogue like that. And then instead of saying he holds up a bag he's collecting as proof, you would change it to say holding up a bag as proof, right? And without initial cap and without a final punctuation. But if you wanted to leave it the way it is, you'd need a blank line above it and you'd need to capitalize he. Mrs. Simmons, addressing she. That works as an aside as well, but here are the things you need to do to make it properly formatted as an aside. It needs to be indented, like all other stage directions, and it needs to not have a capital in A, addressing, and you don't need to put quotes around she, and you don't need all caps for it there, because that's her character name, and she's also not performing an action. So you could have that say addressing Katie, or you could have it say to Katie. You don't have to say addressing, you can just say to Katie. But it needs to be indented, and you need no initial cap and no final punctuation. Again, take a look at that cheat sheet. I think I'm gonna stop talking about formatting. Good, done with formatting. Ugh. All right, let me go back and look at the scene. So there's lots of really fun stuff in here. You've created a couple of really fun characters. I'm not sure why so often, maybe I should change my description of this assignment, because it's amazing how many times people name them he and she, but you named them Steve and Kate, so you can leave them that way. They can be Steve and Kate. Get rid of the he and she. Those were meant to be placeholders. You're not the only one who decides to dip. But anyway, it's a lot easier to read and more personable. If you go ahead and give them names and categorize their characters with those names. Anyway, some fun things about these two. There's two things about this that I particularly liked. One is that you sort of gave them the toy in the room, which is they had something to do. They were shopping for vegetables, so they had something to do while they were talking. I think that's always a really good idea. And you brought in this other character, the old woman, who was actually sort of fun. In particular, where was she in particular fun? You know, when she says stuff like, oh, you know, back hurts here, house leaks there. I love that line. That's so funny. So I really enjoyed her. So going further with both of those things, though, I think those are both really, really good additions to the scene and make it a lot of fun and very interesting. But each one of them could benefit from going a little further. So in terms of the fruits and veggies first, right now, all you have them do is walking together, point at it, and say the name of the fruit or the vegetable. But otherwise, they don't comment on it in any way. And I think you could have gone further than just pointing and mentioning the word. What are they shopping for? What are they going to make? What does she think of what he's shopping for? What does he think of what she's shopping for? There's so much more that you could add to it that would make it functionally a part of the scene and not just something they're doing while they're talking. Because right now, if you took out the point and the word carrots, and if you took that stuff out, what they're saying wouldn't change in the slightest, other than the first things first, fruits and veggies. This goes to one other thing I wanted to say, was you didn't set up for me why do you start out the scene with these two people who are not planning on going to this, you know, who have a relationship in which they're not ready to say that they're dating, right? That's the whole point of this scene. And yet they're shopping for fruits and vegetables together, as if they live together, as if they're married or something. So I think you'd be better off having them both having them run into each other while they happen to be shopping, is like, so that you would have a meeting moment of, oh, hey, nice to see you. And, oh, yeah, I'm making dinner. Oh, I'm just getting a snack. And then as they shop, they could comment on each other's food, which would also show us what they think about each other through their responses to what they're shopping for and what they plan to make with it. You should get some rutabaga. I have a great recipe for that. Rutabaga, ugh, I hate it. And you're saying, oh, you never like anything that's good for you. I don't know. But it would just, there's, you could add so much more flavor and fun to this if you took that idea that they're shopping and turned it into something that illuminated their characters a little bit more. Let's see. So that would be about that one. Otherwise, it seems like two people who shop together don't seem like two people who would not be able to discuss whether they're going to the dance together or not in this way. So I think running into each other would be more useful. So the other thing, the old woman, so much fun. But the fact that she seems to mistake them for a couple, which is really interesting, or insinuate that maybe they're a couple, which I think is, you know, again, quite intriguing. But your characters, Steve and Kate, ooh, they suddenly changed to Steve and Kate. That's interesting. I'm not sure why that happened. They stopped from he and she. They changed from he and she to Steve and Kate. They could be Steve and Kate throughout. But anyway, after she's gone, they talk to her for a moment. And then after she's gone, they go back to shopping and they do not respond in any way, shape, or form to what she said. It doesn't change their conversation in the slightest. I don't know. You say there's a moment before the two continue shopping, but we don't know, did that embarrass them? Do they have to try to deal with it? The fact that she called them lovebirds by accident, the fact that she's, you know, all the stuff that she said, they don't react to it at all. So again, and this is a really important test of your writing, if you remove Mrs. Simmons from the scene, you wouldn't notice it missing, because Steve and Kate could go straight from, see, what happens before that? Well, you'd better go ask Mary Jones. Squash. Fine. Cabbage. Not that it matters, but how are you planning on getting to the dance? We wouldn't notice the difference at all, that Mrs. Simmons was gone altogether. And I don't think you want to introduce a character and then have her not have an effect. So I think that you really would want to capitalize on that. Right now, they don't react to it. And then there was something that Mrs. Simmons said that threw me a little bit. She says, where was it? I remember when I used to babysit you two when you were that age, which again, are they siblings? Sharing toys and taking baths together again, wouldn't they be horribly embarrassed to be reminded that they used to take baths together? Anyway, but what threw me was the, now you're all grown up and taking care of my grandkids. So are you saying that Steve and Kate together are taking care of Mrs. Simmons' grandchildren? Like, are they co-babysitters? So that confused me a little bit. I think you meant, because Kate's in daycare, that she's looking after the grandkids, but that's not what the sentence says. The sentence says, I used to babysit you too. Now you're all grown up and taking care of my grandkids. She's not just talking to Kate. So that threw me a little bit. And what was the other thing about it? Now you're all grown up and taking care of my grandkids. I think you meant for her to be addressing Kate, but it doesn't read that way. It reads like she's addressing both of them, and I don't know. Oh, that's the other thing about it. If indeed her grandchild is in daycare with Kate, then some of the questions she asks, there's no reference to that. She just talks to them as if she hasn't seen them for a long time. In fact, she talks to Steve first. She heard his dad wasn't feeling well. We're two doors down. Hi, Katie, how are you, dear? I don't know that that's the way you speak to someone who's operating a daycare that your grandchild goes to in a small town. I would think that the conversation would be a little bit different. Like, you know, Joey bumped himself, or I'm sorry that Joey bit one of the other kids. There's so many things that you could use by that kernel. The knowledge that she's that Kate is handling the daycare for this kid, so I think there's a lot more richness. So bottom line about this particular assignment is that there were a lot of good things that you got started in this scene, a lot of good things. All of them could have gone further, and so I would encourage you to keep pushing and go further in each of these arenas and take a look at your formatting. Okay, thank you, Veronica. I'm going to move on to the next one now. So thanks and toodaloo.